Sponsor a talk by Van Jones in Portland on September 12th on how we came apart, how we come together. Van Jones is a former advisor to President Obama and the author of 3 New York Times best-selling books. The talk is part of the Visiting Sage series and will be held at the Governor Hotel at 7 p.m. on the 12th of September. KABU will be recording the talk and will broadcast it as a part of our News and Public Affairs Day on September 14th. More information can be found on the right side of the KABU website under Community Events.
KABU hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KABU at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film Urban Roots on Thursday, September 13th at 7 p.m. Urban Roots is a documentary that tells the story of the emergence of urban farming in Detroit.
They really not getting out and seeing what's going on out in the city of Detroit, because let me tell you, if they did, man, all the stuff they talking about up there wouldn't mean nothing.
This growing movement of urban farmers is changing the way people think about food and life in Detroit. Again, that's a film screening of the documentary Urban Roots, Thursday, September 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
That's right. This is more of how KABU keeps you informed, keeps your activism muscles warm and limber, keeps your heart and mind engaged and involved. That's what it takes. It takes community radio. And community radio takes you, the community. Some of our friends and neighbors who got involved in a way that makes sense for them include some folks that are, I guess I'll just say, KBOO programming is made possible by KABU listener members and support from Portland Underground Graduate School, a local independent learning community offering courses and workshops for continuing lifelong learning. Scholarships and other tuition opportunities available. Course options and more information online at pugspdx.com.
Folks, thanks for tuning in to another exciting episode of A Radio Geekly. This rebroadcast is from 2016, where Becky, Rob, and David talked about conventions. The collective is currently out enjoying the convention season this year, so we thought it would be fun to rebroadcast this episode for you to enjoy. Information about the following cons that they chat about can be found online. Wizard World Comic Con can be found at wizardworld.com. Geek Girl Con in Seattle can be found at geekgirlcon.com. Pretty Awesome Gamers Charity can be found online at prettyawesomegamers.com. Enjoy this episode, and the collective will catch y'all next month.
And you are listening to A Radio Geekly. I'm your host, Becky, and I am joined in the studio by two of our collective members, David Kesters and
Robert Lacoste.
We are A Radio Geekly. This month, we are talking to you about conventions.
Conventions. Those live
everywhere.
Events.
Yes. Exactly. And we have gone to several of them for you and are bringing a discussion about their place in nerd culture as of now and in the past and perhaps even into the future.
Future.
I wanted to start off everything by introducing the idea of conventions and talking about our various experiences with them. I would posit myself that the first sci-fi convention is the World's Fair. That occurred you know, I guess starting in the earliest 20th century.
I think that's fair, because they were seeking to show people not only what technology at that time could achieve, but what the vision for technology going into the future was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of the common vein that we find in all science fiction conventions.
Absolutely.
Like Alexander Graham Bell released his phone and things like that. And this was before before the 1900s, you know, mm-hmm. during Garfield's presidency.
Yeah, and interests that were very specific in speaking to the future, and sci-fi, of course, being one of those. But as cons have developed, they have been centered around fantasy, around games, around anime, a number of TV shows and things like that, which all kind of speak to that future, or at least, you know, a reality other than the one that we're in now.
And even beyond that, some conventions just function as a perfect excuse to cosplay, play dress up,
mm-hmm.
Go as, you know, who you want to be seen as,
mm-hmm.
put on your real skin.
Right, exactly. Live that authentic self. And I feel that historically, conventions have functioned in this sort of way, that this was a place where people who had very specific interests could, you know, exist in a room with other people who shared said interests, who wouldn't necessarily be subject to derision or, you know, like that lack of community. They were real community building efforts, no matter what the subject matter of that particular con is. Like, yeah, part is a fascinating piece. And as we go on in, you know, into the future of conventions, we will see that inclusivity kind of go beyond simple subject matter, I think.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You could almost make the point, now granted, we've had some turmoil in the recent past with issues of inclusivity, women in gaming, that type of stuff. But mm-hmm. I think that the validity of the face-to-face experience facilitated by the convention is still highly relevant, because as opposed to, you know, the digital environment, sure, yeah, we're getting much more interesting digital environments where we have a visually rich landscape. But does it necessarily completely replace the face-to-face experience? No. Mm-hmm. We want to, you know, meet new people, actual people, not necessarily their digital representations purely. So I think that the convention is not only, I mean, it's been extremely valid and viable going into the building of nerd culture, and it's going to remain that way. But as we'll discuss in this show, there are pivots that are coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there are different focus pieces that, you know, as good stewards of nerd culture, I think the cons are responding to sort of the new challenges that are cropping up.
Oh yes, conventions are such cool experiences. And you know what else is a cool experience? Becoming a member of the KBOO family. And here's a couple folks to tell you just how you can do that.
Oh, there are a couple of folks that can tell you how to do that. Ooh, this is Becky.
And I'm Jess.
And you might have just heard us on the radio.
Oh my gosh, it's radio magic
it's
here.
It's some spooky action right here in your ear holes. So anyway, we're here to remind you of the importance of KBOO and the importance of you as the centerpiece of our work, as the foundational building block of this radio station. You are the reason that KBOO happens. And that phone number to call in order to take your place is 877-500-5266. Or you can go securely online with a click, kboo.fm, and, you know, hit that button up.
Yes, and when you become a member now, you will be entered to win a prize.
A prize.
Today's prize is a chance to win a pair of passes to the Hollywood Theater and a $50 gift certificate to the Tin Shed Cafe. Support programming like a Radio Geekly, the collective that myself and Becky are proud
indeed
to be a part of, and want to support other collectives like we were listening to this morning with APA Compass and the Pacific Underground Collective,
mm-hmm.
supporting other partners like the Pacifica Radio Network. But we can only do that with your support, folks. So please call 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm.
There are so many interesting ways that community reaches critical mass, and that we have all of these collectives working together towards a common goal or subject matter or perspective, and then all of us working together to continue the operation of a shared community resource is pretty dang cool. And I am super proud to be a member of KBOO. I've been a member since I came to Portland, actually, in 2013, and I will continue my membership even when I leave. So I'm very excited to be a part of this effort with you out there. And we are hoping that you would share in that excitement as well by calling 877-500-5266 and call with your support of $6.25 a month. That's a $6.25 a month membership, and you will get a wonderful Keep Portland Radical t-shirt. It's one of my very favorites, and I like to wear it around. It feels like a statement.
Yes.
And so you can make that statement too, not only because you support independent radio and independent perspectives, but also because you have a cool shirt and it tells you things and tells people
yes,
what to
do. Yes, and you can wear it like when you go out to these conventions that the rest of our collective members are supporting.
Actually now,
because Rose City Comic Con is actually happening now. Yeah. And we do have collective members on the ground getting some content for you.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing it back. Entering right. into the community to bring it back for the airwaves. So support that effort from our collective. Support KBOO by calling 877-500-5266 with your $6.25 a month donation. Pick up that Keep KBOO Radical, Keep yes. Portland Radical t-shirt.
That's right.
It's got a what color would you say that is, Becky? Fuchsia?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely
loud
fuchsia.
And proud.
Yeah, exactly. Keep your pink.
Exactly.
Well, you know, not only do you want to call 877-500-5266 in a show of solidarity, the folks that are doing a Radio Geekly, we put in the time because we are passionate about sharing this particular perspective, mm-hmm. the perspective of someone who's really into, specific subject matters and exploring around and the diversity of those like perspectives, but also to bring a different voice to it too, because sometimes this field is a little bit fraught with, I think, a privileged perspective. And so being mindful to bring other voices into the conversation, that's what our work centers on. And it's hard work. We do it on a volunteer basis because we feel passionate about it. And we want you to share that passion, the passion that you have for this, with us right now. 877-500-5266 and support the place that gives space to this kind of work, KBOO. KBOO's been doing it for 50 years. You are a part of that as well. Even if you haven't been listening to 50 years of KBOO, you are still part of this project. You are part of this community organizing. Call now with your support, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm.
Hey everyone, this is just Jess, and I was fortunate enough to join the KBOO Collective at Wizard World Comic-Con this weekend. Well, at the Comic-Con, I thought I'd take the opportunity to wander around and interview folks with a little lightning round Q&A, Vox Pop style, seeing what people were into and where their loyalties lied. I only had 5 questions, with a couple sub-questions, but boy, did some folks have a lot to say. I started off with this first one.
First question, who's your favorite doctor?
And I'm referring to Doctor Who, of course. A show consisting of 12 different doctors over the course of its running, which started back in 1963. So I was curious to hear which doctor was the fan favorite.
10.
10.
10, by far.
10.
11.
11.
Now, for those of you that might not be familiar with Doctor Who, when someone gives the number 9, 10, or 11, they're referring to Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant, and Matt Smith. Those are the more recent doctors, within the last decade or so, and therefore, I kind of figured they would be the most popular. There were a couple fans, though, who did not want to answer completely.
That's a tough one. 9 was my first. I also like 10. I like them both. I'm not going to decide between them.
And even some of those who had their own unique response to the question.
Dr. Horrible.
Favorite doctor? House.
When we makes robots?
Nice. I like that one, too.
which I thought was very creative. Question two on the list was another tough one.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Yes, this is a question that had very passionate answers, even those with fairly good reasons behind them.
Star Wars all the way.
I have to say Star Wars. I never jumped on the Star Trek train.
Trek.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Star Wars.
But overall, I thought there was quite an even draw between those Trekkies and the Jedis. With this question, I had sub-questions like...
Kirk or Picard?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'd say... Kirk.
Picard.
Picard.
Oh, Kirk all the way. You can't find that sort of beautiful cheese in the original series anywhere else. It's amazing. He created a whole subgenre of cheese just based on his bad acting.
Kirk.
I'm assuming you went to see Shatner this weekend?
I'm trying to.
Picard.
Kirk.
Oh, it's a tough one. I had to go with Picard.
Kirk.
Picard.
Which gave some creative responses. Despite William Shatner being one of the key celebrities here at Wizard World Comic Con, there are quite a few Picard fans, which made me very happy, since I myself am a next-gen kind of girl. The sub-question to Star Wars was...
Do you acknowledge episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Another controversial question that spanned many intense but reasonable replies.
I acknowledge them. I don't love them.
I do my best.
But you know, they are an important part of the story.
They're existing?
They exist.
They're definitely things that happened that I can't take away.
No.
No comment.
No.
No.
The pod racing was really cool, but that's probably it. That's all I'm going to acknowledge.
You will ignore Jar Jar Binks?
Yes.
Question three.
Marvel or DC comics?
Marvel Cinematic Universe. I tend to read more DC graphic novels.
I was going to say, as far as from a Hollywood film, definitely Marvel. TV, there's a lot of great character development with their Justice League and Young Justice series.
Agreed.
So that's how I would split that.
Oh, DC. I'm all about Young Justice and Teen Titans. That's my jam.
Marvel. All the way.
I like them both, to be honest. But I gotta tell you, I favor the villainous. Those are my favorite.
Marvel.
Both.
Marvel for movies, DC for TV.
Marvel. Hands down?
Hands down.
Okay.
Go Avengers.
There you go.
I'll have to go with DC.
Marvel and Batman.
Marvel plus Batman and Joker.
I've had someone say Marvel plus Batman.
That's okay. Yeah.
Who doesn't like Batman?
Yeah, who doesn't like Batman?
Mostly just for Batman, which made me wonder, could Marvel ever attempt to buy the rights to the Batman franchise? If so, then DC's in a world of trouble.
Well, that was Wizard World Comic-Con.
Such good questions.
I know. Jesse is quite the interviewer. I felt like it was really interesting and telling that, you know, when we are in these sort of cons that we focus a lot on, like, the consumer culture piece of it. Like, for example, the Marvel or DC question and people saying, like, oh, yeah, Marvel for movies. Like, well...
When?
It's also TV too, like lots of Netflix recently, you know, what is it? Jessica Jones.
Oh, and Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, yeah. Exactly. So like, but that's interesting because, you know, that's sort of the way that we consume culture in this way is in a consumable fashion. Like, it is TV, it is movies, comic books, things like that. And I think that the excitement for me is the whole world around it that organically grows from a fandom.
Oh, yeah. And on the subject of the world that grows, I remember watching the first Flash TV series when I was very young. It was, you know, your classic sort of, it was a step beyond the old Batman, but only a little step.
Right, yeah.
But now, as opposed to, you know, the old Batman and the old Flash and those sort of standalone TV, TV shows, now we have TV shows that acknowledge the existence of the other TV shows. So all the characters exist in that same world, which I think is, it propels the story so far ahead from where it once was.
Oh, yeah. And that's sort of what we've been building towards, I think, in, like, you know, fan fiction and the universe universes that sort of build around this canon, it does become referential. It does take a look at the things around it, the universe of like characters. But what do you think, David?
It's definitely something to escape into, that we've created this world outside of our world, and how they play with each other. It's something else, and I enjoy just the prolific amount of things we can go to these days.
I know. There's a wealth of places to go. There are many different topics to talk about. Wizard World was interesting in that there was a very strong emphasis on purchasing things. Like the majority of the way that the floor worked was it was miles, I would say, of vendors, of different people selling vintage comic books or like body pillows or things like that. We had a booth in the on the floor as well, and trying to do outreach. So that was where this piece came from. But you know, otherwise, like the panels, I didn't feel like they really delved into subjects that I guess were meant to be ostensibly like really sort of progressive in that way. They had one about, you know, like women in, you know, fantasy, and almost all the panelists, for example, were men. So like that's something that I find, you know, happens. Like we have these social topics that we're exploring, but we haven't really gotten to the point where the people are in these big cons or in these cons that like have like the name recognition that travel the country. They don't really speak to the people that experience those, like being a woman or being queer in these spaces.
It is true that these large conventions don't always speak to everybody that attends them, but you know what does speak to everyone? Community radio. And here's some folks to tell you how you can become a part of the KBOO community radio family.
Thanks, me. Yes, I'm Jessie, and you were just listening to myself and my little Vox Pop piece that I did at Wizard World a couple years back, and I am joined by my collective member, Becky, and we are here to invite you to become a part of this community that is KBOO by calling 877-500-5266. Embrace and support the diverse perspectives that are here, because you know, in geek culture there are diverse perspectives that aren't always represented in conventions like Wizard World. And Becky, you were mentioning about how a lot of it is more consumer based, where they just want people to buy stuff,
right?
And
yeah,
so the panels are not actual representations of the people that they are speaking about, but you know,
or space for discussion,
or
really
space, exactly,
or any of that. Yeah, KBOO goes against all that. I just want to say that if you call 877, well, not if, when, because when is now and everything, 877-500-5266. When you call, you can be a part of a place that has discussion, healthy, full discussions around issues in general, issues specific. I mean, KBOO is the most ambitious crossover event in all the history of radio.
Woo!
And also, a Radio Geekly is the most ambitious crossover event in history, because 2 years ago, us are talking to right now current us. It's interesting. Anyway, 877-500-5266. If you believe in the power of time travel and KBOO instigating that as well, you can also go online, kboo.fm, click the donate button. We were one click away from being a part of the bedrock of the station. And also, when you become a member now, you'll be entered to win a prize, a pair of passes to Hollywood Theater, and a $50 gift certificate to Tin Shed Cafe. The way to do it is easy, by calling 877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO right now.
Yes, and join Wayne from Amboy, Washington.
Oh, hey, Wayne!
Renewing his membership and picking up a cool KBOO t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And we have those t-shirts available for you folks for $6.25 per month.
Oh, heck yeah.
Keep KBOO Radical t-shirt in fuchsia lettering.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's pretty radical there.
Totally.
And you know what, Becky? I found that folks that were telling me that Radio Geekly is one of the few few geek shows that is actually on the FM airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to support a show that has these diverse geeky perspectives? And I mean, we can talk about Trek versus Star Wars.
Oh my God,
we can see, you know, which is our favorite doctor. We were even having a discussion with our lovely board op here about which doctor is best. But we will leave that for you to have your own discussion. Well, future episodes, yes. There's mm-hmm. so much history for Doctor Who.
That's so Batman.
But, you know, we can only continue this support of a Radio Geekly, of the collective, by your call of 877-500-5266. Donate now or online, kboo.fm.
Well, I see you out there, dear friends. I know that there are plenty of you wonderful geeks and nerds, and we are asking for your call of support and solidarity in keeping nerd perspectives on the air. 877-500-5266. I know that there are more than three of you out there. If you are one of them, if you want to stand up and have your nerd voice heard, call that number. Again, it's 877-500-5266. And help us reach our goal. Three of you can make it happen. So you, you are a part of this station and you are part of this collective when you make that call of support, 877-500-5266.
Even when you're at one of those conventions, I know you're probably wandering the vendors hall right now deciding, where should I put this? I just happen to have $6.25 in my pocket right now.
Right. Where are you going to put it?
Where am I going to put it?
You know where you're going to put it?
We're going to put it in the KBOO family.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And be a part of this community, because we can't make this program happen without your support. Truly, like you are in the studio with us in a weird, cool, ghostly fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, your calls, your joining us on these adventures at the cons, that's important. And you are a part of the community. You make KBOO happen. 877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm, and click with your support.
Right. That's an interesting point you bring up, because you could certainly make the argument that if you have a primarily white male middle-aged demographic, then to mirror that demographic and get them to take interest in the panels, then the panelists should mirror the majority of the demographic making up the audience.
Mm-hmm.
However,
right, in this instance,
however, to push ahead a progressive agenda, you need to sort of break out of that mold. Now, does that necessarily serve the audience as a mirror? No.
Mm-hmm.
But it serves them in a cognitive fashion much better than just having an echo chamber created. Mm-hmm. Which is a whole other subject, which we'll probably save for another episode of a Radio Geekly, the echo chamber of nerddom.
Echo chamber, echo. But this is a great segue into this next piece that Rob, in fact, has helped us get, in that he attended Geek Girl Con, which is a con that is primarily, like, the lens is on women and female identified persons who are within geek culture.
I went on an away mission.
Yes,
to in the fact, planet of ladies.
And not red shirt style or anything. He came back. He brought mm-hmm. us back this audio, and so let's go ahead and hear that and see how the differences between this really like Wizard World Con and Geek Girl Con.
We're here at Geek Girl Con to sort of figure out what Geek Girl Con is, what it represents to people, and what it says about geek culture or the evolution of geek culture as it's currently progressing.
I'm here with Christine Hassel.
Yes.
And this is a Radio Geekly reporting from Geek Girl Con.
I'm currently their deputy director, so I assist our executive director. I fill in as needed. I've done a lot of jobs in the org over the years. I've run their Twitter feed since I've started, and I joke that they'll have to pull it out of my hands because I love our Twitter community. So basically deputy director, and I'm the Twitter administrator.
So maybe you could tell me how this got started. Like, I mean, this has been around 5 years?
This is our sixth year. So our origin story is at San Diego Comic-Con, there was a panel called, I think it was Geek Girls Exist. and they put it up against the Scott Pilgrim panel in like Hall H. So I don't think it was a case where they thought, oh, no one's going to go. But from the stories, because I didn't go, it overfilled. And fire marshals were like, no more people in the room. And so after the panel was done, a lot of women started talking. And they were like, oh, we live in Seattle or we live in San Francisco. Let's keep this conversation going. And over the next 6 months, it was super grassroots. And they did a lot of small fundraisers and like karaoke nights to raise money. And they put on their first convention, or we put on our first convention in 2010. And it was at Seattle Center. It was a back and forth between Seattle Center and EMP. So it was the year that people had to walk back and forth, but it was really cool. Jane Espenson was there, Trina Robbins, Chase Masterson. There was a lot of like important women in what they did who just wanted to come and be a part of this thing. And our next year we moved here to the conference center at the Washington State Convention Center, which has been our home ever since. And I believe from the beginning, they were very clear in the mission statement to say that there would be no gatekeeping at Geek Girl Con. Because sometimes if you go to other comic book conventions or other pop culture conventions, if you're not hip and don't watch Doctor Who, or maybe you haven't seen all of Orphan Black, you'll get treated with that kind of derision of, you're not a real geek. Or if someone sees your Star Wars tattoos, they want to quiz you on them. Or go, oh, do you know this comic? Because they want to try to trip you up. At Geek Girl Con, I have found that if I run into someone that has not seen Steven Universe, somebody else is more than happy to go, you have to watch it, because there's like this celebration of wanting to share the fandom here and not call someone out because they don't know what Saga is or Planet or whatever somebody is into. And the fact that in the mission statement, we're pretty explicit that everyone is welcome here, provided they know that our focus is on women, and also that this is a zero tolerance for any kind of harassment. Like, just don't even bring it here, because you bring it here, it's going to get shut down and we will boot you. We have a really well-trained reaction team that are selected from our volunteers, so that they're there to make sure that if by any chance something happens, like maybe lost child, or maybe somebody feels like something happened, they're there to be the bridge between, you know, security and police, to not sweep anything under the carpet, but just like, tell us what's wrong. We're trained so that we can really listen. Okay, let's continue the conversation. Yeah, we're very lucky that we haven't had anything. 6 years, knock wood.
Hey. I'm here with Mike Selinker.
Hey, I feel like it's a show that doesn't have very many analogs around the country. I completely understand that. One really interesting thing that's downstairs here is the DIY science sort of academy downstairs, where little girls and boys are essentially doing real science. And I think a lot of families, you know, they get here and they see that, and the 8-year-old girl goes, I want to do that all day, you know. And what a positive experience that is, because you brought a kid to essentially a comic book show, you know, whatever, right? It's like, oh, you think their mind is going to be filled with cotton candy, and at the end of the day they've built a volcano.
Like, we, in moving our DIY science zone, which is a really super cool space, started by one of our staffers who's a woman of color, and she's very impassioned about inspiring kids to do STEM. And what better way to do it than to have a bunch of scientists come and show them how science can be relatable for kids. And the first year that we did it, it was super cool. It was on the smaller side, but adults were right beside the kids. So we're like, okay, well, the next year, let's make it bigger, and so that there can be like two tracks, adults and kids. And this is the first year that we've had like so much space downstairs, and there's all this room, and they like have bugs, like millipedes and centipedes, so kids can know the difference. And they were doing things like, let's make gummy mummies. And in the years past, it's let's learn how to take DNA out of strawberries to show kids.
Wow.
This is what we do. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And all of the scientists, they come from all over the United States.
I'm sitting here with Carrie and Leslie from Black Nerd Problems. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
I was recommended to the convention last year by a friend. She says, there's this convention in Seattle, and it's really women-focused, and it's just a party. And so I've been trying to find my way up here ever since. And the amazing, this is, I go to a number of fan cons in Northern California, and this is the most diverse convention I've ever been to. In terms not only just of racial diversity, but there are mostly women here at the convention.
Yes.
There are a million interests represented on the exhibit floor, in the panels, and I really appreciate the emphasis on the family friendliness and on girls, and bringing girls who are in those awkward 12 to 15 kind of age spaces into science and into the world that we as adults love so much, but that can be kind of hostile to girls like that, and objectifying them or making them feel like they have to be one way or another. And this space just really says, hey, there are adult women here who are with you, and you can be whatever kind of nerd girl you want to be. That's just so much fun for me as a mom and as a woman to see, and to be able to share. And so I really want to come up here and be able to report on it and to share it with our readers nationwide, so that they know what kind of fun stuff is possible, that you can bring this to your own local convention in certain ways, and or you can come here and see us, right? And because Seattle's nice. So, you know, there's some options for everybody.
Right. So as someone who identifies as a nerd and also a womanist under the umbrella of feminism, I'm always talking about navigating spaces to be safe, navigating spaces as a woman, and navigating nerd spaces on Twitter and at cons and stuff. It's just really important. And here, it's just so great, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's family friendly, it's girl friendly, it's woman friendly. You know, you see all the little kids, little girls from yay high to, you know, older women, everyone's in cosplay.
Yeah.
I mean, you see women on the panels, you see women as the agents, the people who are helping out in the red shirts, you see women like everywhere, and it's just really important. You know, we talk about having representation and having representation in the organization, people running the everything. You see women everywhere. It feels great. It feels warm and friendly, and it doesn't feel like an unsafe place, you know? And I really appreciate that, and I really feel that.
We're here with Anita Z. Sarkeesian. I got that pronunciation right that time.
Excellent.
So, welcome to the show. So maybe you could just tell me, how's the convention been going for you? You know, any highlights?
Yeah, it's wonderful. So I have been at Geek Girl Con every year since the first year. So this is what, year six now? This is my first year tabling, though. So we are up in the expo hall. We have a table. We have some merch. We're interacting with fans, introducing new folks to our work that isn't familiar with it. So it's been a really different experience for me, but also really rewarding and great. And the number of people who have come up to me that are first-time attendees at Geek Girl Con is really awesome and exciting. One woman was telling me about how she was getting really emotional just being here because it's such a different convention from so many other conventions. It's warm, it's celebratory, it's a space where folks who are traditionally marginalized in geek culture can feel welcome and not undermined and undervalued at every moment, or like have to take a test to get through the door about how much they know about a particular fandom, right? And so it's, you know, it's a very special space, and I'm so glad to be able to be a part of it every year.
So for our listeners who might not know of the epic Anita Sarkeesian, would you like to just give us a quick rundown of,
yeah,
like who you are, what you do, why you're awesome, and why people say praises?
So I run Feminist Frequency, which is an educational nonprofit. We look at the way women are represented within popular culture. So our biggest, our most well-known project to date is called Tropes Versus Women in Video Games, where we're specifically looking at some of the really harmful, kind of degrading representations of women throughout the history of gaming. We also are in the process of releasing our latest series called Ordinary Women Daring to Defy History, and that is telling the stories of women who've been written out of history, because too often the history books are full of stories about men, and women are completely erased from all of the incredible, amazing things that we've done. And actually, like, some of the work that women have done has been so instrumental to changing the way that we exist today. You know, if it wasn't for women, computers wouldn't look like they do currently, for example. And so I think it's really important that we share and tell those stories.
And thank you so much, Rob, for bringing back an amazing experience, it sounds like, in this particular world, which looks to emphasize, you know, historically marginalized communities being a part of something, mm-hmm. being a part of this geek culture.
Yeah, I think, honestly, the most impactful thing that didn't that got left on the cutting room floor, it was this little anecdote that I was told that the measure of success for the convention for one person was, it was a convention where a father would not feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. about letting his daughter like run around, just explore. Mm-hmm. You know, comparatively, PAX is a super packed convention with just everyone there, and it's not somewhere you would want to say like unhitch your child and be like explore.
Right, go
for
it.
I'll find you at the end of the day, maybe in Lost and Found.
Right. Well, I feel like, you know, in terms of mainstream cons and things like that, that they are still trying to integrate a really important piece of inclusivity and also consent, like teaching consent out the door, where, like, you know, cosplay is not consent, you know, folks having buttons that indicate that they want to be asked for their identifiable pronouns, things like that. So it sounds like, you know, Geek Girl Con is the sort of like paradigm in growing that, for sure, and that's an empowering, wonderful space, especially with the science folks. Focus, because that gets ignored often in geek culture. Like, a geekiness can extend to an enthusiasm and love for science.
Absolutely. And I see it as, I think part of the direction that we're going with conventions in general is to reacquaint ourselves with not just science fiction, but science fact. And we're back to the World's Fair point, mm-hmm, where that was using the bedrock of the currently maximized, you know, complexity technologies, and then showing the vision of where it's going. Mm-hmm. And to that effect, I think Oricon actually does a pretty decent job of that. They Good. Bring in people from NASA. Mm-hmm. They have talks about, you know, where is current sort of low orbit spaceflight technology going? Mm-hmm. What can we do right now for what price point?
Mm-hmm. Well, you yourself are involved in a number of really cool things at OMSI, where there's that intersection between, you know, like gaming, the sort of like, you know, imaginative, like creative exercise that has been relegated to like this world of the art and creativity, but like then separated from like, you know, the hard science piece. So that's exciting that it's more and more part of the culture.
And I certainly appreciate in that capacity how you've got this, you know, sort of regimented, process-oriented science base. Mm-hmm. But in order to really figure out the usage of that base, you need to explore the liberal arts, the creative side of it, mm-hmm. Or else it remains as a sort of engineering stock idea. That then, you know, will be put into something. Will that something be ultimately a pleasurable experience? Well, that's where the creative comes in.
Right,
that's exactly. Sort of value proposition is.
Creativity and diversity is what we strive for here on a Radio Geekly and also on KBOO Community Radio. And here's a few folks to tell you just more ways on how we can become more diverse and more creative with your help.
Becky and Jesse here. Two years into the future.
Oh my goodness.
To remind you of the importance of being a part of this community, being a part of KBOO, and how easy it is. In fact, it's so easy, it's just a phone number. With your phone and you and a special moment all together, you can become a part of this community. 877-500-5266. That's the phone number to call, and there is a website, kboo.fm, with your click of support. Secure, easy, amazing. All of those things that we like to combine into your KBOO membership experience. It's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Hi. Yes. And with KBOO, you will make homemade, handcrafted radio with your friends and neighbors. Ooh. You know, KBOO sounds different. It's something real, something made by real people like you, like Rob going to Geek Girl Con and talking to those people.
So real.
Face to face. Like us and, you know, Becky and I, when we went to Wizard World Comic Con and we were getting those Vox Pops going. And mm-hmm. it's just all of those things. We make the handcrafted, homemade radio here. here presenting it to you folks. So please support that effort. Support the work that KBOO has been doing for 50 years and counting. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. Give your $6.25 a month donation. That's only $75 for the year. That's quick and easy to do with a checking account or with a credit card. You can pick up one of those Keep KBOO Radical t-shirts. It's got some fuchsia lettering on it. Support it loud and proud, folks. But we need your help in order to send that over to you. So 877-500-5266. We have a goal of $200 for Radio Geekly. We've got just over 15 minutes to do that. So let's see. How many folks is that, Becky?
That's like three people.
To call.
And you were one of those magic three. In fact, you could even have a club right now. The magic three of the Radio Geekly supporter chain. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll come up with a better name. We've got some time. But
we've got some time.
I would like to posit a radical idea here.
Okay.
So I would like to say that a Radio Geekly really just doesn't exist or do anything. The people that do it are the people that bring us into the room. You out there that are listening, that are KBOO listeners, you make this happen, you. And with your support, we can come together and go to these cons. We do this work because you make it possible. So in order to make it possible, it takes action on your part, and that is calling 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm and clicking with your support to show that you acknowledge that you make this show happen. It is literally you.
Yes, and when we come together to create this collective, to create this unifying body that is KBOO, we can bring you perspectives like from the folks that attended Geek Girl Con and how that was just kind of developed by one panel at Comic-Con where geek girls exist and how many of them actually flooded that panel room,
right,
to actually bring something about, to go, you know what, maybe this is something bigger than we thought,
right?
And KBOO is bringing you those perspectives to show that there are geek girls out there, there are geek guys out there, there are geeks everywhere.
Well, you bring that to us,
and you bring it to us.
You are the driving force in the existence of this very radio station.
Exactly.
Without you, we do not exist. This radio show doesn't exist. We are not here to do anything outside of you. You, dear listener, you are the most important part of the equation, and we are asking for you to join right now and be a part of this radio community by calling 877-500-5266. Your support, it can come in any shape, way, or size. Everything is valuable. Everything that you contribute to the community is something that is necessary. We're asking for or suggesting $6.25 a month or $75 gift, I guess.
Yes.
To get this rad t-shirt. It literally says radical, Keep Portland Radical.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a suggestion. We're looking for you to join our community in making amazing, awesome, inclusive radio happen, including a Radio Geekly, which is one of the very few, if not only, geek public media radio shows in the whole entire nation. Brought to you by KBOO. Brought to you by you.
Wow.
Wait, did I say that right?
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. 877-500-5266 and support radio that helps me bring the gold and gems in the morning time for you. I don't know what that means, but you know what you mean to us? Everything.
Yes.
877-500-5266. That's the phone number to call. We have a thriving culture of cons here in Portland, and our next piece actually highlights some of the work being done by folks who recognize that attendance at cons can be hard. Like there are barriers to entry aside from, you know, your gender identification, that of financial like access and whether or not you can afford to go to these cons. And so this piece by Jess as well from Pretty Awesome Gamers will explain what that means.
For those folks that don't know about the organization, why don't you take a minute or two to describe what you guys do?
Yeah, well, thanks for having us on. Much appreciated. So Pretty Awesome Gamers is a nonprofit that started last October. So we're a pretty relatively new company. The founder is from Sisters, Oregon, just south of you guys in Portland. Basically, the bottom line is that we grew up pretty nerdy, and you know, we were really into video games, and we spent a lot of time in that world investing ourselves into, you know, just having fun with, you know, video games, and some of our board members are into different comics and shows. And so, you know, we get to an age where we're like, okay, well, we can't be doing this for like five or more hours a day until we die. So what can we do with that energy in this comic and game related world that is going to be beneficial for us and the community, and something that we can all feel good about and feel productive? And so the founder of Pretty Awesome Gamers originally went to school for graphic design, and he wanted to make his own video game. And we still actually have that as a long-term plan, but we shied away from that and created this charity. Basically, what we do in a nutshell is we take terminally ill kids or kids with chronic medical conditions to conventions, mainly Comic-Cons and Comic-Con type conventions, and we just show them a full expense paid vacation, and we do it. We work nationwide.
Wow. And with the organization, how do you locate these children? Do you have particular hospitals or places that you're already connected to?
Right. So currently, anyone can go to our website and nominate a kid. If any of you guys, you know, have a younger sibling, or your neighbor, you know, has a kid, or, you know, anyone you know, any kid with a serious medical condition, or they're terminally ill, or anything in that realm, you can go to our website, www.prettyawesomegamers.com, and you can just go to nominate and just fill out the form and nominate them. We always need more kids. Our goal is to reach awarding 50 families per year. So we always need more kids, basically.
Wow. How many have you been able to impact so far?
Well, as I said, we just started last October. So we spent the first month just doing promoting. We were going to different Comic-Cons and having our booth and getting our name out there and trying to meet artists and kids and people to grow the company. And we actually just took our first, they were brother and sister, Neela and Vaughn. They're out of Texas, and they both diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. It was one of those situations where the mother wasn't told until after her second child that any kid she had would unfortunately have this terrible condition. So we just took them down to the Austin Wizard World Comic-Con down there in Austin, Texas, and it was a great time.
That's so cool. So what entails in these trips for the kiddos? Do they get all expenses paid, like flights and things like that, or what's all entailed in the convention experience?
Absolutely. So first off, we let them decide who they want to be for the weekend, because our slogan is we create superheroes. So, well, for example, Neela and Vaughn, she was Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and then he was Bumblebee the Transformer.
Nice.
So we try to get professional cosplay artists to custom design them their outfits, so the cosplay artists get publicity and the kids get really awesome, just top of the line like costumes. And so from the get go, they get to be, you know, their favorite character. And then the best choice for transportation is we can fly them, we can go by bus or taxi, depending how close they are to the venue. But yeah, it's completely free, and then they get into the convention for free. In most cases, they'll get sort of like the VIP badge, in which case they can get to the front of the lines, I think, or get a better chance to meet celebrities. Just kind of get a better experience in general. So it's kind of special badges, and that depends on the convention. See, yeah, so they get to go around the convention and see a lot of art, and obviously a lot of people there are dressed up, and the energy at these places are just very, very positive and very good. I always tell people, you know, my friends who ask about it, you don't even have to be into any of this stuff to have a great time there, because it's just very good energy. So while they are at the convention, we kind of sneak into either their hotel room or their house, their bedroom, and we decorate it with all kinds of art. We put up pictures and trinkets and this and that, and then so it's a surprise to them when they come back, and they're like, oh my gosh, is this for me, kind of a thing. So
that's really cool. I could just picture, you know, like your 8 or 9 year old self and just having this experience and then coming back and it's still continuing, you know. That's
Absolutely. Really cool. Absolutely. Yeah, it's very, you can tell it's very otherworldly for the kids. You know, they don't even know what to think about it, because it's so surreal almost, you know, and they're kind of living this. They've never seen anything like it, basically. So it's very enlightening to see the kids react to all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you noticed like an impact in growth, like also with the families too? Like, how are their reactions to the whole convention thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the time the parents, are going to love it. I mean, because, for example, the kids we just took down in Austin, just a week prior to us taking them, they spent a week in the hospital because they have a lot of complications with their condition. And so, you know, the parents are having to deal with all that too, and it's a lot of stress and a lot of times very expensive. So to have any chance to get out and do something cool with their kids, you know, the parents obviously are going to jump all over it and have a great time. So it's just pretty much fun all around.
I know with the geeks here that, you know, being an impact at such a young age, it truly like helps with the development of like creativity and, you know, reaching dreams and stuff. And being a child with a terminally ill disease, sometimes you kind of lose hope. And just so like bringing that hope back to them, you know, and sharing those moments that, yeah, you can still have fun and then going to these great events despite your condition. And I think that's just a wonderful like community building tool, is despite differences amongst children and just people in general, there's still that encouragement to want to explore and just be who they are. How do you guys raise your funds, or is it just donated when you get these tickets and these VIP passes for the kids?
So yeah, we have a lot of different ways we raise funds. We do everything from having booths at conventions, just kind of like talking to people. A lot of what we do is get in contact with different businesses, all different kinds, you know, because we are 501c3 nonprofit, so businesses or individuals can donate their money to us. But I mean, we do all different kinds of things. We're looking to have a Pac-Man themed, a marathon type running thing over here in Central Oregon. We have people across the states, you know, our board members are nationwide, so we go to conventions across the state. We're pretty open, and that's the cool thing about being a new company, is that we can be creative and just kind of figure it out on our own. So we're very open to opportunities, basically.
Awesome. And can people volunteer? Are you looking for more support in different aspects of the company, you know, either going to the conventions or even just on the business side?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether you want to invest your time, you know, as a volunteer, or art, you know, we have a lot of artists working with us, whether you're a cosplay designer or just, you know, you paint or whatever it is. We also do work with like the 501st Cosplay Division, which is a nationwide cosplay charitable people, and they'll send like stormtroopers to escort the kids in and things like that. You know, we're very open. And then also, or funds, you can just go to the website and just kind of check us out. Again, it's prettyawesomegamers.com. Just shoot us an email, or if you'll fill out a form, just let us know whatever it is you want to do.
Well, thanks, Andrew Von Ritchie from the Pretty Awesome Gamers charity organization, for taking the time out of your day to talk with us here on Radio Geekly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jesse. I look forward to working with you guys in the future.
All right, and thanks, Jess, for that excellent interview. What a great organization, of which there seem to be others as well. You were mentioning one that, what do they do?
Yeah, it's Con or Bust, and that's con-or-bust.org. So they help, they're helping fans of color attend science fiction conventions. And if you go to their website, I'm looking at their website right now, it actually is a great index for the Geek Girl Con-esque conventions, mm-hmm. Conventions that focus on diversity, inclusivity. So I love this as both a tool and reference.
That is amazing. And the equity movement that we're making in geek culture towards inclusivity and cons is totally incredible. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's the future of con going anyway. It's so good that we're able to, you know, talk about specific topics within a safe space, but making that space specifically safe for people who normally don't experience safety within any environment. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly important.
Richer conversations, richer experiences.
Exactly.
Exciting times.
I know. Exciting. We have to kind of wrap it up, folks. And so as we are ending a Radio Geekly, I want to thank Rob. I want to thank David. I want to thank Jess. I want to thank everybody who came on, interviewed with Geek Girl Con, with Comic Con, with Pretty Awesome Gamers. Thanks to everybody. A Radio Geekly is also online. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter. We have all of these things. But do you have us? Join us online for discussions, for more information, for all of the amazingness that comes from A Radio Geekly. I'm Becky, and I'm saying David. Goodbye.
Thanks, Becky.
Yeah, I'm not David, and I'm not Rob, but you are.
And wow. I am Becky. That was 2 years ago me.
Oh, but my
this,
word.
This me right now is here with Jess, and we only have a few minutes left in the show. And so we are encouraging you to become a member of Radio That Makes Space to Be Who You Are.
Yes.
Call 877-500-5266. Help us make our goal of $200 this hour. You have 2 minutes. You have a minute and a half.
You can do it.
You can do it. You are part of this an effort, and you can also go online, kboo.fm. Click the donate button. It's fast, easy, secure, and we love you. We're so glad that there is no gatekeeping, that we can blend science fiction and science fact on A Radio Geekly with you. You are the people that make it happen. So call right now and make it happen. 877-500-5266.
Yes, and say thanks to the efforts that we're going into making Radio Geekly happen, the community effort that is KBOO, that is the fall membership drive here with your support. 877-500-5266. Make that call now. Help us reach our goal. And yes, continue to support this community movement.
It is important. You are important. 877-500-5266.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is almost exactly 12. It's time for the KBOO News at noon for Friday, September 7th, 2018. Hey. And we are in our membership drive, and I hope everyone is making those phones ring. 877-500-5266. In the news today, the Israeli military shot and killed an unarmed teenager in Gaza today and injured more than 200. The army opened fire on a group of nonviolent demonstrators gathered at the border fence between Gaza and Israel. Protests have been held every Friday since March 30th of this year, calling for the right of return of Palestinian refugees and an end to the siege of Gaza. Over 200 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces at these protests. In national news, on day four of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings in the U.S. Senate, documents released yesterday appear to show that Kavanaugh committed perjury by lying under oath. In 2004, after a Senate Sergeant-at-Arms report found that Republican staffer Manuel Miranda had stolen confidential communications from Democratic senators, Kavanaugh told the Senate he had never received such documents. But new emails made public by Senator Leahy on Thursday appear to show that Kavanaugh got 8 pages of material taken verbatim from the Vermont senator's files, obviously written by Democratic staff, labeled not for distribution. The stolen material detailed Democrats' efforts to oppose President George W. Bush's judicial nominees. And building up to a mass mobilization planned for hundreds of cities across the globe on Saturday, campaigners have already kicked off Rise for Climate demonstrations that aim to raise awareness about the climate crisis, encourage urgent action from policymakers to keep fossil fuels in the ground, and call for a full transition to renewable energy. More than